Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
So glad to have you join us again. We're going to cover a bunch of areas. We'll talk meme stock, short squeeze. We'll talk cryptocurrencies. We'll talk about SPAC, sports gambling, and the marijuana industry and stocks in those sectors. I'm Andy Gersher. This is Gains. Hey, if you were holding crypto over the weekend, you were probably pretty happy. A bulk of crypto moved pretty hard to the upside. And then in stocks, we started the week off on a pretty strong note with markets at or near all-time highs. So just a lot of activity right now. Today, we're going to bring in our guy, Mike Palumbo. He's one of my go-to guys for the noon business hour. Before I bring in Mike, do me a solid. Be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option. I've been told that is podcast gold. So be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. Let's bring in our guy, Mike Palumbo. Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago. Hey, great to get you on board here, Mike.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Andy.
Yeah, and we have a whole list of stuff that I wanted to talk about. I think one of the key things to discuss is meme stocks. And there's big gains and big losses in the meme stocks. And one of the big drivers in the meme stocks is the short squeeze play. And that's kind of part of the equation in the reason why the likes of AMC and GameStop and some of the others that we've heard about that have skyrocketed. So before we get into meme stocks, one of the key components behind them is the short squeeze, something you're very familiar with, Mike. So explain what the short squeeze is and how that specifically comes into play with meme stocks.
So a short squeeze happens when there's enough stock borrowed by shorts. And what that means is in order to short a stock, you have to borrow it from someone who owns it, and then you sell it in the marketplace. And then down the road, you are going to have to buy it back. But at the beginning, you borrow it, you short it, and then so you're betting it's going down so you can buy it back later at a lower price. When too many people get on the boat of shorting it, in other words, enough of these shares are borrowed short, it can cause a squeeze because there's a lot of people out there that are short, and if the stock starts running up, they may need to cover, which means they may need to buy the stock back. And, of course, if they buy the stock back, that causes more pressure for it to go up, and it can just be a self-fulfilling prophecy, and there's no limit to how high the stock can go. And we've seen that in some of these meme stocks. We've seen it, I've seen it in my 30-year trading career, quite honestly, often, but never as crazy as it's been the last couple of years, certainly, and this year in particular.
And retail investors getting in on this too. With gains, we always like talking about making the big gains. The short squeeze is actually not a bad tactic. It's been a little more treacherous as of late. So you actually do that quite often. Explain what you've done over the years on the short squeeze play and how lucrative it can be if you don't have the Reddit apes get in the way.
Well, we've been on both sides of this. So on the long side, you know, you want the Reddit guys, what they're looking for is they're looking for pain. They're looking for a stock that's been heavily shorted. And if they can identify that it's been heavily shorted, that's easy to do, but also possibly by weak hands. If they can identify who some of the shorts are, you can pick a stock that is a good bet to have a short squeeze and run up and get long it before this happens. And that's what they did with GameStop, and it was brilliant, actually. And it was funny, is a lot of financial experts came out and said, this isn't real capitalism. This isn't fair. Well, yeah, it's fair. Everything's fair in the stock market.
Right. I mean, everything's fair.
You do what you have to do to make money.
It's refreshing, right?
Kudos to the Reddit guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's refreshing that you have the little guys in here and got involved, saw this, and then took some hedge funds to the woodshed. I mean, kind of delicious, right?
Exactly. So, you know, you usually hear the hedge fund, the story of the hedge fund that kills it one year, makes 50% in a down market or whatever. And that's great. You know, they're professional investors, they're sophisticated investors. But this time the tables turned and the little guys figured out a way to blow up some of the big guys. And boy, with GameStop, and I don't recall the name of the shop, but one of the investment bank or one of the hedge funds actually had to cover at an incredible loss, and it was all caused by individual investors buying their 10 shares here, 100 shares there, 1,000 shares here, and that actually caused enough pain for a billion-dollar plus hedge fund to have to cover. And when you hear something like that, you know, to me, and, you know, I may be considered one of the bigger guys, but I really love to hear when some smaller investors kick the butts of some supposedly sophisticated big guys.
And one of the things that these retail investors came to save GameStop and AMC is in these short situations where you have these hedge funds that short a stock, often it will just pulverize the company behind it to the ground. I mean, it can make things a lot worse.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. They pick the right names normally. And, you know, on paper, what was interesting is GameStop is a stock that didn't have much of a future, right? So for it's a prototypical hedge fund short, because it's a stock that doesn't look like it has a driver for future revenue growth. It looks like it's in a downward spiral, circling the drain. And so there was some funds that were shorted because that's what they're taught in business school, right? But the thing is that they didn't understand is that, you know, if you get enough investors on the other side, and if your risk management is not good enough on the hedge fund side, on the short side, you just have too many eggs in one basket here. It doesn't matter what your thesis is. If your thesis could be iron tight, but if the stock market says you're wrong, you better have the cash to be able to hang in there, or you're going to have to cover for a huge loss, and that's what happened. What's the saying? A stock market can remain irrational a lot longer than you can remain solvent. And I'm not even saying it was irrational, but it certainly was irrational to the hedge funds that were shorted, and some of them couldn't handle it. We make sure at MJP Capital, obviously, we have very significant risk parameters that don't allow for those things to happen. But you know what? Some of these guys, they get a little bit, you know, full of themselves. They think they can't make mistakes, and then a GameStop happens, and they're taught a valuable lesson in humility.
Yeah, because sometimes it's fun to see the biggest bully in the room just get dropped, right?
And that's exactly what happened.
And that's exactly what happened. And you know, here's another thing, Mike. So you had the short squeeze, and you had these stocks just skyrocket, tons of money being made by retail investors. The one thing that was interesting is these companies were smart about it. If I'm not mistaken, GameStop, AMC, Express was on that list. They may have taken advantage of it as well. When those stock prices were so high, they brought additional shares and were able to kind of goose up their bottom lines financially by issuing new shares and taking advantage of their stocks rising in such a huge way. Explain what happened there.
Yeah, exactly. So good work by the CEOs. For a while there, it didn't look like GameStop was going to take much of an advantage of it, and then they finally did, and the market loved it once they did issue some stock. AMC definitely did. They raised a ton of money, and it paid off a bunch of their debt. So what happened is, you know, when the stocks go up like that, they can actually – it can help the company – stay up there, because once you raise some capital up there and you can pay down some of your debt, some of the problems that you had, all of a sudden they go away, and then the entire thesis on the stock changes.
And in GameStop's case, they were able to take that money and say, hey, we're going to make the investment to move a lot of this online. AMC, as you mentioned, did some tactics and by getting some debt out of the way. And, I mean, it ends up being a nice little boost for the company.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, again, that shows that they're, you know, even though they were kind of dog stocks for a while there, they're run by smart people that know how to take advantage of a good situation. So they did. And that's why the stocks have maintained a lot of their value, certainly have come off their highs. And let me say on that side, we have shorted some of these names into the strength when we feel like, and it's not really a model thing, it's more of a gut feel of when we think that the name is just been overplayed. So we did make some money on GameStop on the short side when we saw the short interest drop. So that wasn't really the concern anymore. And then you see the stock trading 350, and you know, we shorted it there and held out and bought it back at about 50% gain. And the reason, again, was because we sensed that the euphoria and the movement in the stock had actually gone too far. And that's something that you get through, you know, years and years of watching markets, having good and bad things happen to you, learning from your mistakes, and you're able to figure out sometimes when to take advantage of the other side too. So there's the great thing about these meme stocks is there's ways to make money both on the long and the short side. You just don't want to be short them when a squeeze is about to happen, because you can see some of the pain that's happened to some of these hedge funds. And again, these are highly sophisticated investors, and they still got killed.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is, with the big gains, you get it on both sides. It's a lot of this is just there's so much volatility that you can really take advantage of these swings. And for somebody who's like, you know, it's pretty common knowledge. We've talked about it. I mean, I'm a degenerate risk taker, and so again, what I say is for entertainment, and we're looking at this from a more uber risk standpoint. But, fair warning, this isn't for any or for everybody. And a lot of people can get smoked by playing with this. But boy, the juice and the volatility. And like you even alluded to, when you're in this for a while, you can even start eyeballing trends on charts. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we look at charts. We look at just... You can almost sometimes in these big newsy names, you can just by the news stories that come out, you can identify where most of the people are and when to go the other way.
Without a doubt. I mean, I'll just give you an example in crypto. We talk tons of crypto, and we'll talk about that here in a second. Is what was the height of Doge? The height of Doge was Elon Musk on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, and that didn't that feel like that was and that was the height of crypto at the time. Things have changed and Bitcoin, they all got slaughtered and Bitcoin and Ethereum have come back. But
if you want to make money in this market, Andy, when Elon Musk is going on Saturday Night Live and everyone in the world knows that he's about to talk at least very highly likely to talk about Doge, that should be setting off every alarm in your trading head.
And it ended up being, you could see it.
If it isn't, then you got to get better at being a trader, because that was, and if you look at the movement of Doge before that, the straight line up that it had gone a few months earlier, you had to know that that was going to, if it wasn't going to be a top, it certainly was going to be close to a top. And if you were long there and waited through that Saturday Night Live, which, because you know crypto trades over the weekend, so you waited through that Saturday Night Live, you still had a little bit of time right after that to get out. When it drops the first 15-20%, you still could have got out. But if you were holding the bag, you know, a week later, you know, honestly, maybe at least it taught you hopefully a lesson of how markets really work, and how you have to be disciplined in both being long and short, and when to get out. And, you know, the old bulls win, bears win, and pigs get slaughtered. That just is exactly what happened when Musk went on Saturday Night Live with Doge.
Yeah, in fact, I just noticed that. I was riding the Shiba wave, and as soon as you start seeing it everywhere on all the financial sites, I'm like, yeah, it's going to pull back. You know, it's funny, and you've probably heard of this example. For years, people don't really read magazines too much anymore. But for years and years, I'm talking, you know, in the 80s and 90s, when you had like Money and these various financial magazines, whenever a particular stock or investment class would hit the cover, that would always be generally represent the top. I remember years back when
Barron's is known for that.
Yes,
when
Barron's.
They make a big macro call. It's always good to fade it.
Yeah, on I've seen it where Barron's has said, "Oh, gold," and that would always be the top, or Apple stock, whatever the magazine cover was for the month. It's like, well, everybody knows about it now. There's no fresh money to come behind it. So we see that a lot. And that's kind of the same type of thing that we saw with Doge and Elon. And then SHIB has pulled back quite a bit now since its recent high. And that was the same kind of thing. Once you started seeing it on every website, and people who wouldn't be interested in it, you know, 6 months ago are talking like experts, know that kind
of
feels
like you can't like really model. You just have to have the trading savvy. You have to have the gut feel.
Oh, totally.
What's out there and what's going on, and when to turn the other way, and yeah, certainly, as you mentioned, Sheba as well. I don't follow it as much as you do, but you know, it's certainly another altcoin that's out there. You know, there's so many of them to follow. I lose track of the thousands of them. But
and they add some every week.
50.
You know, they add some every week, and that's even another question.
And some are trading at like 1/1,000,000th of a penny, and it's crazy.
It is. All right, so we'll get back to you know, crypto. Just really quick. To the meme stocks, are you still playing with them right now? Do you still pretty much monitor them, Mike?
Oh, I monitor them every day, but yeah. I don't have a position right now because they're kind of in that no man's land area.
Exactly.
Where for me, there's no trade. The beauty of trading, Andy, is that you don't have to do anything, you know. And I especially want to tell that to the day traders out there, because sometimes when you're day trading, I'm a longer term investor, been doing it a long time. But you know, we do some things for short term trades, like that short in GameStop. Well, for the day traders out there, you don't have to trade everything. You don't have to do everything. You can take a day off. You can take it, especially if you've just gotten a big beat down. You know, it's maybe a good time to kind of just take a break for a little bit.
Walk away from the blackjack table, you know, have a cocktail and a dinner before you get back at it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with that. And so right now, yeah, we think that the really the big meme stacks like AMC and GameStop are kind of in that no man's land range where we don't find them interesting to trade at this moment.
And you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. Patience is a big part of this, because you always want to get in and make money, and sometimes You know,
you can't force it.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Arnold Rothstein. He's a really smart guy, and you know, going back, you know, just the brains behind the mafia. I mean, going back in the early 1920s, and the one thing that he would always say is he would plot and save his money, and then be patient, and then when the right opportunity came along, he would bet the house. And patience goes a long way with this. Don't just jump into something. Let something fully sell off if you're bottom fishing. If you're going to short something at the top, let it have its run and be patient. And that goes for gambling. It goes for stocks. It goes that's
because
great.
They're so related, right, Andy? I mean, it's such a similar poker playing, stock investing, that all that, you know, gambling at a high level, it's all the same type of risk management idea concepts and just gut feel for when to get in and out. Those are things that are you learn through experience. But some of it you can learn fairly quickly, like risk management for sure. But yeah, you have to know when to bet the house. And when I say bet the house, you still have to have risk management. It just means put a large bet on. But you know, like you said, patience is so important. Knowing when to get in and out. These are things that you learn through many years of experience in the markets.
And I think also. And that's why I think young people should get in on this, throw some money even at these high-risk investments if you can afford it. If you're going to go to the casino, maybe don't go to the casino and the roulette table and open up a crypto account and, you know, gamble or play that way. I think a valuable lesson, and you just really don't know anything about investing, is until you get beat down and taken to the woodshed. You got to get roughed up, and until you do, you don't fully understand that. Would you say that's fair to say?
Oh, definitely. I mean, anyone who has been, I mean, if you have not taken a huge beating, you just haven't taken any risks. I mean, I think Einstein said it first, you know, show me somebody who hasn't failed, and I'll tell you somebody who has never taken a risk. Well, that's definitely true in trading, and so you definitely will learn from those. The key is to learn while not getting completely destroyed. You know, you play small, as you know that you're if you're a new fish in the ocean, and learn that way. But yeah, I don't have any problem with especially younger investors, you know, dipping their feet in. The volatility of crypto, of some of these meme stocks certainly is a place that you can learn a lot, and you can make and lose a lot of money. And just, you have to make sure that, you know, what you're playing with is not money that you desperately need. You know, you have to be careful about what you're investing. But I have no problem with especially younger investors, you know, getting some experience by just diving in there and seeing how they can handle it.
I'm a big believer in learn by doing. And then, you know, lessons come along and like you said, it's just managing your risk. But that's the whole thing about this Gains podcast, is learning about this stuff and finding opportunities and getting your feet wet. And yes, I mean, hey, we all get roughed up a little bit. And again, like I said, you know, you don't have to be crazy like me and just go full risk. And, you know, I love the juice. I mean, making the money is almost as exciting as just being in it. So, you know, if you are just getting into this and you want to fool around with it, you know, just know what you're dealing with. Another thing that's really hot is, so we've talked meme stocks, is these SPACs. And they're called Special Purpose Acquisition Companies. And one that just came out today, there's going to be a SPAC for Panera Bread. There's all kinds of companies that have gone public via SPAC. Mike, explain exactly what a SPAC is. I mean, you hear a lot of buzz about it, and there's been some interesting companies that have been brought to public via SPAC. So kind of explain what that is.
Yeah, so as you said, it stands for Special Purpose Acquisition Company. And what they do is they raise money to start the SPAC in the idea that within the next 2 years, they're going to find a target to invest in. So instead of it being an IPO where you're an investor and you buy the IPO, you know the exact company you're going to buy. Instead, you're buying really the reputation of the sponsor who's running the SPAC and the idea that that person will know what company to take over or what company to buy in an IPO and make everybody money that invested in the SPAC. So it's a little different than going right into an IPO. Instead, you're betting on the sponsor, really, more than anything else, and that their ability to pick the right target. So that's why it's different. What we've said about SPACs is when they initially came out, well, not initially came out, this was a long time ago, but when they become popular, which is the last couple of years, we've said that they're definitely interesting if you find somebody that you really believe in, but that we did feel like the majority of them were probably going to get probably not going to do too well, and at least not for the investor. And the reason behind that is because the sponsors get a lower price point in on the SPAC than the investors. They get warrants, so their break-even point is a little bit lower than investors. So you just, as an investor, you have to be careful. You just have to go in there with eyes wide open, knowing that some of these SPACs are not going to make money. They're going to make the wrong investment. And remember, they only have 2 years to find a target, so the clock is ticking as well. So you have to be concerned, are they going to just do a deal just because the gun's held to their head that they got 2 years to do it? And some of these that have happened have done really well. Some of them are well below their $10. Usually they end up pricing at $10. So if the SPAC's trading over 10, it's doing pretty well. If it's under 10, it's not doing well. A lot of them are under 10 now, whereas early in the year they were flying and they were at all the rage. But as with everything, the great ones end up separating from the bad ones, and you end up getting a huge disparity in returns. So as a side note, I'll say that we have not invested in any SPACs, but one of the companies that we've invested in the private markets has been acquired by a SPAC. So we've been on the other end of it as an investor in a private company, and it went public via the SPAC, and it was a great deal for the company. So I would just caution investors that sometimes these SPACs are better deals for the company they're buying than it is for the investors that initially invested in the SPAC. I hope I was clear in how I explained that.
No, that's actually a pretty good way of describing what that is. And I think the important point that you made there, too, is towards the end, if they feel like they're pressured, we just got to pull the trigger on something. That's a good point. Time for shameless plugs real quick. Podcast Gold. Be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's you. If that's an option, please do that. You'll really help us out here. So be sure to subscribe, follow, and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Any kind of plugs for you, Mike? We've always talked about author of the book Calculated Risk. Anything else plug worthy for you?
No, I appreciate it. MJP Capital is a family office, and we don't really take outside investors. But I'm really just happy to be on your podcast to support you, and also just be on BBM to help help individual investors. I mean, I started with nothing, and I just want to hopefully help as many investors out there as possible to understand what's going on out there, know when the odds are against you and when they're not, and to just hopefully help people make money and help them get some gains.
Well, and I'm going to give you a little props here before we go to a commercial break. Mike is my go-to guy. He really is. There's a handful of my go-to guys and gals for the noon business hour. And the important thing with Mike is I often come to him and say, hey, this just happened. And, you know, he gets up on it and delivers it almost immediately. So big time kudos to you, Mike, especially with helping me out on the show and that kind of thing. So we're going to talk cryptocurrency in just a second here. We got a quick commercial break and we'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're back with Michael Palumbo. Mike Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Like I said, one of my money go-to guys. Let's shift the conversation and talk crypto, baby. I'm a big, big...
I know you love it,
oh,
Andy.
I love it. I love it. And there's a lot of money to be made, and there's also opportunities to really get schooled. Just overall, your view of crypto, do you like it? Are you active? What do you like about it? What's your take on crypto, Mike?
So we're a little bit more boring than you are with crypto. We love the space. We've been investors since that last crypto winter back in 2018. Our pick to click is Ether, Ethereum. We just think it's in the right spot with the NFTs and it's the best bet going forward in the long term. But you know, we're long term investors in crypto, which I think for most people is not the way they're playing it. But you know, that's the way we run our family office. So our pick is Ethereum. We certainly like Bitcoin. I'm not long it right now. It is definitely here to stay. That doesn't mean the price will keep going up, but it is here to stay. It is a modern day gold, and there's no reason to believe that it's not going to maintain that. In fact, you've seen it go up as gold has just sat there at a time when, with all the money printing and all the $1 trillion budget additions they've been making in the Biden administration, you know, that's been great for crypto, and gold has gone almost nowhere. So you can just see that's a rotation from the traditional bet against federal money printing to the new one, which is crypto.
Yeah, oh, totally. You could totally see it. You would before crypto in a situation like this, you know, I gold's
gold
like 1800.
Short.
You'd have gold now at 3000.
Yep.
It's really interesting how crypto has, you know, taken the place of gold there. And you mentioned how you're long term. Yeah, I was just in and out of NEO while you answered that. No, I'm just kidding. but it is kind of like that.
It is. Yeah, you could make a $500,000 there. Well, depending on how big the size is in about a minute in this stuff. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, and the great thing for the degenerates, and believe me, I am too in my own personal stuff. You know, I'm talking when I'm on your show. I am talking MJP Capital and what we do with the family office stuff. But yeah, I mean, the great thing is it trades every day of the week, so the casino is never closed. You know, the stock market closes 3 o'clock Central Chicago on Friday, and you don't get your fix until 8:30 on Monday morning. But crypto, you can trade it every minute, pretty much all week long, and that's a great advantage that it has over the stock market. You know, you have liquidity, 24/7.
And it's funny. I've talked to a number of people who are also into crypto, and we always talk about how that's the one thing that surprises us is once you get into this, it's hard to leave it. You know what I'm saying? Because you can constantly buy and sell 24/7. I mean, you could be betting the Bears game and trading, you know, Zcash on the side. I mean, on Sunday, it's really a
Now it's with the, like you say, with the sports betting too, man. You there's no limit to the amount of things you can get into, the amount of trouble you can get into, but also the possibility of definitely gains as well. No doubt about it. So yeah, the sports betting too. It's crazy. At this point, you have your phone with you. You can bet on something any hour of any day,
and the action just never stops. And if you like the juice like me, it's just like, oh gosh, I mean, this is all I ever asked for. You mentioned Ethereum, and I'm there with you. Like, Bitcoin's great. I don't have nearly the interest in Bitcoin. It, you know, as you mentioned, it's digital gold, and it's taken, I think we both agree, has taken a lot of that gold money that would normally pile in there. Ethereum, love it. Behind the NFTs, you know, the play that I've talked to a lot of crypto experts, if you want the safe conservative play, I mean, it's relatively safe. I mean, we're talking crypto, is right. Dollar cost average into Bitcoin and Ethereum. I would even say dollar cost average just straight into Ethereum because I love the NFT stuff. And that's the next thing. I wanted to get your take on NFTs. I mean, that brand, you know, a lot of that activity benefits Ethereum. What do you think about NFTs?
Well, I mean, they're interesting. It's such a new market that and pricing is all over the place in these things. I mean, you could take a picture of your cat and it could sell for $1 million, and the Mona Lisa might be $10. You just don't know yet how this is all going to play out. But one thing I can tell you is that NFTs are not going to be a fad. They're going to be around. It's just a matter of how is the pricing on these things going to end up. Because certainly people are going to get burned and people are going to make a lot of money on this. You want to talk about volatility. This makes Dogecoin look like it's McDonald's stock. I mean, you know, these are things where you can buy something for $500 and somehow, you know, 3 months later it could be worth $500,000. And I'm not saying that happens a lot, but it is happening.
Oh, it totally does happen. Yeah. And you know, with NFTs, you are basically, this is the way I look at NFTs, and you're totally right. People are going to get smoked. People are going to make a lot of money. You know, on
buyer
this
beware.
Yeah, buyer beware. And on this podcast, I promise within weeks here, we're going to tell you, we'll show you how to mint one. I got a guy who is going to share us how to mint NFTs and how to maybe get in on this. And I may actually mint an NFT of my a picture of my cat. That's a pretty good idea. I talked to another friend who says that he draws stick figures really, really good and would be interested in doing that. But the interesting thing is this is the ground floor of ownership of Internet 2.0 and the metaverse. I mean, we are the cryptos, the NFTs, this is all laying the groundwork to some pretty cool, exciting, crazy stuff that you can make a ton of money on.
No doubt about it. And the metaverse, NFTs, all this crypto, these are going to be here to stay. It's just a matter of which ones are the winners, which ones are not, and it's going to be fought over the next 10 years, and then we'll look back and say, man, of course I knew that was going to happen. But yeah, it's hard to tell how it's all going to play out, but I can just tell you that NFTs are not going anywhere. It's just a matter of you have to be super careful in what you're buying, because you know, who knows where the valuations are going to go. I'll tell you one thing, Andy, and I'm kind of plain vanilla crypto guy here, and I know that you're looking for some gains here. I'll throw one name at you of a smaller an altcoin, and it's called Axie Infinity. That's a play on the metaverse, on the game of the same name, and it's a coin that's about $150 right now, down from 160, so it's near its high. But it's a lesser known game than some of these other ones like Mana and a few of the other ones, and we do like that one. It's a little overbought here as far as if you look at the charts, but I mean, this is one that could be a really big winner for people. And again, I don't play these altcoins very often. I'm a plain vanilla guy, but I wanted to throw one at you because I know
what was that nugget again? That was good. Yeah. I love it. And that's give us that nugget again. People, take this down and just take a look at it. It's not making a recommendation. Since the Facebook changed to Meta, the gaming tokens have done really well. You mentioned Mana, which is the currency of Decentraland, another one in that space. We talked about that with Bill Ulivieri just recently. Polygon, another one. Engine. Mike, what is yours, the one that you want again?
Infinity. It's the same, along the same road, same thing as Mana. It's just lesser known. Symbol AXS. And I'm just looking at it right now. It's $150 is where it's trading right now. It's only been trading for a few months, but the game's been around for a while, and it's a metaverse game, mostly played in Asia, but it's under the radar compared to some of the other ones. But I like it. I just think, you know, of all of them, I think some of them are a little bit overbought, more so than this one, and I just like it as far as if you're going to play a metaverse type of crypto game.
Totally adding that to my list, though. Okay. I mean, that's a new one for me. So I'm going to add that onto my list, and I'll keep an eye on that. I smell there might be gains there. you know, as we're wrapping things up here, Mike, two areas where I wanted to just kind of get your take on, and we kind of touched upon it right now. Two explosive areas, and I know our listening audience, if they're like me, they're going to be hungry for this. Okay, gambling, we've talked about that, especially sports gambling, and with the legalization of recreational use of marijuana, pot. So gaming and pot stocks. Is there anything in those? Or, you know, we have two big industries. Is there anything in those spaces? I mean, really exciting. And I just would love to get your take. Let's start with gaming, and then we'll move on to marijuana.
Well, gaming, you know, I can only speak to the fact that it's being rolled out state by state, and certainly states like New Jersey are having incredible numbers that are being put up already. So, you know, if you're in them, most of these companies are private. Some of them are the big players like MGM and that. You know, it's certainly going to grow massively. Now, who's going to benefit from that the most? I do think it's some of these public companies that are already out there, like Penn Gaming. Has a deal, I think, with Barstool, and you've got MGM and Caesars. There, so you can play this area by buying the publicly traded companies, and that's a way to do it. It's I got to admit, it's not the sweet spot for me.
You'd rather throw some money on a game than even full of these stocks, right?
It's just there. I don't see a big win here. Penn just took a big dump. So, you know, if you want a good one to get in on the gaming, on the online gaming sector, Penn might be a good one just because it just sold off big in the last few weeks. And that's the Barstool one. I think that, you know, long term, it's a good bet. So I'll give you that one name, but I don't like to. I'm certainly not going to ever come on here and tell you something unless I'm 100% convinced. But I'll throw the Penn one out there because I do like it. I do like that name, and it is selling off. It's selling at a pretty big discount to where it was a few months ago. But I can definitely get into cannabis with you because cannabis, we actually are owners of a private cannabis company called PharmaCann, and PharmaCann is going to be going public next year. That space, while it started 2021 very well, it sold off since February just straight down. So it's now trading on the lows on the year, and that's basically because of the Biden administration. There was euphoria when he got in there, and then when the Georgia runoffs happened and the Dems took the Senate, it looked like, you know, cannabis legislation was going to be coming right through the pipes right away, and then nothing's happened. And every month that ticks by that no legislation happens, and the Dems promised this, and it's nothing's happened. So every month that goes by, these stocks keep ticking down. I think at this point they're a buy. I'm not just talking my book because my company's private right now anyway. We haven't gone public yet. But I do think that the sector as a whole has sold off a little too much for what its growth prospects really are. Because the popular opinion, 65% to 70% of people want cannabis legal. And so it's a bipartisan issue. I think eventually it gets done. Will it get done next year? I don't know that it will. It might take a couple years still. But these companies, the top ones like Green Thumb and Cresco, there's some good ones out there that are public, and ours is very good as well. And when we go public, I got to believe it'll be well bought as well, because we're in Illinois, we're in 13 states, and you know there's your shameless plug if there was a plug there.
There you go.
Yeah. But you know, the sector as a whole, it is sold off so much this year that I think at this point you can start nibbling for sure, because we are going to get some legislation. We are going to see it get federally off the Schedule I, which is the big problem right now. I mean, it is right now. Cannabis is on the same schedule as heroin. I mean,
that's interesting. And since it's been legalized in Illinois, first of all, it's not even taboo anymore. I mean, we openly talk about
it. Let alone being compared to heroin.
Right. I mean, hey, I tell people in Illinois, the way this is set up now, and in Michigan, and Illinois is more controlled than even in some states. I mean, in Colorado, it's, you know, in Illinois, it's more like almost going to a pharmacy. In Colorado, I mean, they have buds in jars and people can dig. Yeah, it's the Wild West.
Yep.
So it's interesting how that taboo has gone away. And, you know, you see the expansion of it. And one thing that really gets me, too, is it was one thing that was kind of, you know, behind the scenes, but you would just be really surprised at the number of just older, middle-class looking people rolling into these dispensaries. And like I say, nowadays, it's no different than going to the liquor store and buying a bottle.
It's the same thing. You know, people, the stigma of, you know, buying that bag of weed from a dealer, those days are over. Not that it doesn't happen, but you know, you go into a dispensary and you're talking about edibles, things that are designed for middle class folks, just regular folks to go in and get their little box of products and enjoy it with their friends in a safe environment, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's absolutely no different than alcohol. In fact, it's much safer and healthier than alcohol is. I mean, certainly doesn't do the damage to your body that alcohol does. So, you know, it's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to get adoption, especially from young people, millennials, and my generation, Gen X people, that have some disposable income. It's definitely something that is, the stigma is gone. Now we need the legislation to catch up with what public opinion is, and it will. You just have to wait and see. And that's why the stocks are depressed right now, is because the legislation that the Democrats promised has not actually happened, and now people are starting to get worried. And that's why when I see the worry, it tells me it's getting towards the bottom, and it's probably a good time to start scooping some of these stocks that are public. Just get the best ones. You know, there's Curaleaf and Green Thumb and Cresco are three of the big ones. Those are the ones I would bet on. Trulieve is another one out of Florida. Those are names that are going to make it. You know, if you bet on the smaller ones, you never know which ones, you know, will make it or not. But if you bet the big ones, and the Green Thumb and Cresco are both Illinois companies along with our company, PharmaCann, but you can't buy that yet because it's not public. But the public ones, these are $2, $3 billion market cap companies. So they're not like little mom and pop shops. They own dozens and dozens of stores around the country. So, you know, those would be the names I would nibble at, especially down here. As I said, they're trading at the lows on the year. So this would be a good place to get some gains if you're looking at the cannabis space and you're willing to take risk. Heck, if your viewers or listeners are looking for at crypto, then, you know, cannabis is low risk to them compared to crypto.
Right? Yeah, totally. Okay, so we've talked about a lot of really exciting areas, you know, like I said, meme stocks and cryptos and NFTs and SPACs and marijuana and gaming stocks. I think from talking to you with the gaming and marijuana, it's just a lot of success has been built into some of these stocks. In the pot space, it seems like, there's some fear, and we love that. We love exploiting fear and getting a good deal on something. So some of these companies may be worth looking at. I'm a big fan of Cresco. And you mentioned some others here. Not to throw a wet blanket on everything we talked about, but you and I have talked about this before, or have discussed this before. I love making gains. I love the markets being where they're at. I love just killing it in crypto and all these exciting spaces. But I have one concern, Mike. I cannot find anybody who is bearish on this market. And I got to be honest with you, that scares the living heck out of me. I cannot find anybody who's bearish. Everybody I talk to is bullish. There's that inflation conversation that and the money printing and all this stuff. But that's the one thing that concerns me is everybody seems bullish. So who's behind them to keep goosing the markets higher to bring fresh money in? Does that concern you?
It definitely concerns me. The biggest concern for me is interest rates. If interest rates stay low, I think we're okay. If interest rates start to ramp up, a lot of these assets are going to get revalued. And, I mean, you're going to see blood in the streets and everything, from crypto to stock market to bonds to everything. It'll be an everything crash. But I don't think it's going to happen. I'm just saying that is the biggest risk. Now, what you touched on, and I think is very valid, is the fact that it does seem that, especially the little guys, are mostly long, almost all long. So it has a little bit of a feeling of, you know, year 2000, 2001. No doubt it has that feeling to it. I think the difference here is that the Fed isn't going to make a mistake, raise any rates, do anything like that. I think there are a lot of folks out there that do remember those days, like myself and you, and are eyeing that as well. So I don't think it's quite the euphoria that we had back then, but certainly it's a concern, because when you hear people, and I have friends that day trade, you know, they trade these cryptos, and they show me their P&Ls, and it's like unbelievable.
Sick, you know, isn't it? Sick. Made. Some of the P&Ls.
Yeah, and I'm so happy for them. And my first thing to tell them is, how about you sell a little bit of it? take some gains. You know, but they've done so well, and yeah, it definitely concerns me, Andy. But I do think that history, you know, it doesn't usually repeat itself. It rhymes. I think we're going to rhyme a little bit with. You know, the year 2000, we may have a scare here, but I don't think we're going to have a market collapse like we did then. And if we have a scare, then what you'll see is the folks that are overextended are going to get killed, and the ones that were prudent about their about their investing and making sure that they didn't go overboard on the risk side, they're going to be able to buy down there if that happens. And that's if it happens. Okay, so I would just caution investors, have your fun with crypto, but make sure you're betting money you can handle losing and have some cash on the sidelines, because if there is this a pullback, you're ready for it. You know, if your guns are blazing monster long here at S&P 4650 or wherever the heck it is, I think you're probably not understanding risk management and understanding what markets can do. And so I would just caution investors to have some cash on the sidelines, because there is it does feel toppy here, just on a gut feel, like you said, on a so many people are long right here feel. And when that happens and the boat tips the other way, it can go against you for a while, just because there's weak hands that'll sell off because they can't handle it. That alone, it might not even be fundamentals. It's just the fact that, like the short squeeze, when a stock goes straight up, it's some of it's driven by the people that have to buy it back, you know? And that's the same thing that can happen on a downside when folks are getting margin called and they got to sell. If margin calls happen and there's more sellers, that's just going to accentuate the down move. So I would just, hey, especially if you've done well here, and the longs certainly have done well, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit off the table, making sure you have some cash so that if there is this pullback that could certainly happen, you are ready for it and you're ready to pounce, as opposed to being forced to sell. You always want to sell when you can, not when you have to.
Ain't that the truth? I think that's a good spot to kind of wrap up today's conversation. We covered a lot of ground, and I think my takeaway here is, hey, it's okay. You've made some money. It's okay to take some of these gains and actually put it in your bank account. Maybe even spend a little bit of, you know, on yourself as a reward. Maybe go buy yourself a vacation, or you know, or get yourself a Lambo if you've done really well.
Definitely. I bet your Lambo sales right now are through the roof.
you know it. In fact, I joke with a lot of folks that I trade with, and I'm like, hey, what color are you going with? You know, and I'm always a believer that, and this is the worst, this is how big of a degenerate I am, and I don't really believe this, but I always tell people, you know what, for the first $1 million that you make, keep yourself hungry, go spend it, go out and buy a Lambo so you remain hungry and have to make another one. And that's terrible advice.
That's pretty good advice.
but there's a degree to that mindset as well. Mike, as we wrap up here, and again, we're going to talk about a lot of this stuff on the Gains podcast going forward. Mike's going to be one of our regular guys, so we're going to tap into his expertise. Mike, what's your takeaway from our conversation today?
Well, that the riskier side of the marketplace seems to be has been the place where people have made their most money right now. And that does happen in bull markets. And people should just be cautious that, you know, in bear markets, the exact opposite happens. But that there are ways to profit both in being long and being short these various things that we've talked about here. And it's through market experience and your gut feel, and also just being able to understand the emotions that are out there that will allow it to, that will guide you to make the right decision on when to sell, when to buy.
All right, that's Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, and we're going to be tapping into Mike's expertise a ton on this podcast as well. Hey, thanks again, Mike, and until next time, we'll do this again real soon.
Been a pleasure.
So that's going to wrap up the Gains podcast. That's Gains, G-A-I-N-S, Gains with Andy Gershier. Subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new episode drops. I'll see you tomorrow.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.